You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon. Praise God. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Grace Marquet, and I am here today without my sidekick, John Madrigal. John was unable to be here today, so I will be going it alone, and the Holy Spirit, and with you, all of our listeners, our wonderful listeners, are going to be there praying for me, I know, as we go through this day. And it's going to be a special day. This is our Friday day of prayer, a day when you, our listeners, call in with your prayer requests. And I will pray for your intentions through the grace of God. And as we have done on previous programs, I will intercede through one of our beautiful saints. I will also share with you during this Advent season, the Feast of the Annunciation and the Incarnation, the birth of Jesus. And we're going to go right to the top. We're going to place your intentions in the hands of our Blessed Mother Mary and ask her to give your intention to her Son, Jesus. Now, way back on March 25th, we celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation of Mary, the Mother of Jesus. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her she has been chosen to be the mother of the Savior, Jesus. The Feast of the Annunciation of Mary is one of the most profound events in the history of civilization, in the history of salvation, ever. The root of this Feast of the Annunciation was foretold way back the Garden of Eden, by God the Father himself. The Feast of the Annunciation has affected the life of every person who has ever lived, every person who is living now, and every person who will live in the future. It is profound. It is the essence of our existence. And as I continue with our program today, I will explain why the Annunciation is so important in our life of faith. So important to our very existence. So important as we walk through this Advent season, preparing for Christmas, as Mary, the mother of Jesus, walked and pondered through this season, awaiting the birth of her Son. Advent means coming. It is a time of stillness and prayerful reflection as we wait with Mary in joyful anticipation for the birth of her Son, the Savior of the world. So we're going to pray now, and after our prayer, I will give you our telephone numbers for you to call in with your prayer requests. So we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you have given us such a beautiful faith. The mysteries that you reveal to us challenge us to look deeper into our hearts, our minds, our souls, as we try to grasp and understand what you want to teach us and how it affects us, how it changes our lives. Today we will celebrate your mother, Mary, as we speak of her Annunciation and Incarnation. How special she was to you that the Father chose Mary from all time, from among all the women on this earth, to give birth to you, Jesus, our Savior. She cooperated with God's plan for our redemption. God's plan for our salvation. Lord, this is too awesome for us to comprehend. I thank you and praise you for giving her to us at the foot of the cross as our mother. She is there for us, to pray for us, to mother us and lead us into a deeper relationship with you, Lord. She waits for us to go to her. She wants us to do that. She wants so much for us to be your friend, Jesus, to get to know how much you love us and want to make us a new creation. And in your Mother Mary's humility, she steps back, Lord, as she raises you up. So today as we pray, Lord, we are giving our prayer intentions to your mother. You won't refuse your mother. You love Mary so much, and we are believing and trusting that you will answer her prayers for us today. Amen and amen. So I will now give you our telephone numbers. And as we say, we're going to go to Mary to intercede for you for your prayer intentions. Our numbers are 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. And before we begin with any more things we're going to say about our Blessed Lady and Advent and so on, we first go to our prayer intentions. That is the whole purpose of our Friday day of prayer. It's for you to call in, send us your intentions, and we pray. That comes first. So wherever we are in the program, whatever we're speaking about, prayer comes in and we go and say that prayer for that person's intention. And I'm looking here at some of the prayer intentions we have, and I think right off there's one here for, we're going to pray for Kelly. Now, Kelly is Patrick's daughter, and I say that because we had a little difficulty getting here today, and it was Patrick, our new engineer here. It was Patrick who picked me up and got me here. And as we were speaking, Patrick's daughter has lung cancer. And let's see here. Yes, she has lung cancer. And let's see here. It's your sister, right, Patrick? It's your sister. Yeah, your sister has lung cancer. She's in her 50s. And we're going to pray for her through the intercession of Mary. Our Blessed Lady, we know what's in your heart. We know how you could talk to your son and reach out to him and ask for healings to take place. This girl is suffering. She's not only suffering the lung cancer. Usually when you have cancer, there are other things in your mind and your body that kind of take over and pull you down. So we're giving Kelly right now to you, Mary. We're praying that your son will not refuse you. Her brother here, Patrick, is doing a wonderful job here in the studio, and we're just praying to give this family peace. So we have another one here. This is a request from a woman. We don't have a name. Her daughter has stomach cancer. She has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma also, and she is being treated with a special medication at this time, and she's going to get a PET scan in January to see if that special medication is working. Now, she has a child in college. She has one in high school. And again, this is very, very difficult. Let's see, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and stomach cancer. And the woman who called in was the mother of this girl. So we pray for that. We pray to give peace in that family, peace for the children, that the children have to go through this with their mom. I'm sure it's very, very hard for them. Mary, you know what it's like with your child. I'm sure maybe the baby Jesus had his moments and you were there for him. So we're going to ask you right now to be there for this daughter. We have a request here from Mary. It's another Mary. Let's see, Mary is praying for Gigi. And it's going to be a year. In fact, I'm not sure. I think Gigi's mother passed. It was either Christmas Day. It may have been Christmas Day of last year. And so Mary is praying for Gigi, and it's her niece, and she's praying that she does not get depressed. She's going through something where this has caused her a year of great depression. And because it's so close now, we're praying that Gigi's able to come through with this. And Mary, we go to you for Gigi. You were at the foot of the cross with your son. You know what you went through, the suffering, the pain, watching everything that he went through. So we intercede to you, Mary, for Gigi. And let's see, we have Mary DeAngelis. Her brother Dino passed away, and if you recall, let's see, he was 96, and just a few months back, her older brother Joseph, we prayed for him, and he died a few months back. So Dino just passed away. Fortunately, Mary was there to be able to be with him at that time, so that's always very special. We pray for them. And continuing with that, Dino, the one who just passed, his nephew's, let's see, Dino's, his grandson's name is Dean. And Dean, let's see, he volunteers for an organization called Living Faith in Greece. Volunteers in refugee camps supplying food and clothes. And he was in a terrible bike accident. I guess those mopeds that they ride around in, and everyone's kind of riding all over the place. Well, he was hit pretty hard. And he is now in an induced coma to relieve pressure on his brain. And I said, he's the grandson of Dino, who just passed away. And his father is over in Greece right now with him, to be present during this very difficult time. So we pray for Dean, that he can come out of that coma, because they wanted to do surgery, but the surgery was too not good to operate on him at that time. So they have him in an induced coma. So let's see, we have here Sam. Sam fell and hurt his leg and knee. And he was sent to therapy, but he could not stand up at therapy, so they knew there was something more going on. They sent him back to the hospital, and they found that he had an infection in his knee, and he needed surgery. So he had that done. He's going through a difficult time. He's in a lot of pain, and he's back to inpatient therapy. So we pray for Sam. So we have all of these prayer intentions for our dear friends, and we're praying through the intercession of Mary at this time during this special Advent season. It's time coming for the birth of Jesus Christ coming. So I'd like to share a little more with you today on Mary's Annunciation. The Annunciation is that moment in time when God the Father sent the Archangel Gabriel to a young girl in the town of Nazareth. Her name was Mary, and he asked her to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Savior of the world. Now I ask you, what could be more profound than that? That is awesome. But why Mary? Why was she the chosen one? I'm sure there are probably a lot of girls out there who are very nice, could have been picked. Well, the foretelling of this moment in the New Testament, when Gabriel appears to Mary, actually goes way, way, way back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Back to the Garden of Eden, all of those years before Mary was ever on the earth. Going to give you those phone numbers again. Let's see, we have them here. Let's see, we have 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. You can call your intentions in, and you can also give them to Mary at the desk, and Maureen, you give them their intentions. If you don't want to be on the radio, that's fine. We will take those intentions and pray for them anyway. So call in and give us those intentions, especially this time of year. It's such a beautiful time of year, time of reflection and time of the coming of Christ. We expect miracles at this time, especially as we pray through the intercession of our Blessed Lady. So now here we go. Why Mary? Well, here's God walking in the Garden of Eden long time ago with Adam and Eve. They were his creation. He loved them. He gave them everything, including eternal life. Adam and Eve would never die. But God gave them one order, one commandment. They were not to eat the fruit of this certain tree in the garden. This was a great test for them. And as we know, there was a beautiful apple on that tree. And when they were alone, a sinewy serpent, a snake was writhing around the tree. And he kept telling them, eat the apple, eat the apple. The serpent taunted them, saying, "The only reason he told you not to eat it was because you would become like him. You would become gods." Well, this was appealing to Adam and Eve. They were tempted. So Eve and Adam ate the apple. And at that moment of their disobedience, all of creation was changed. All of it. The serpent, who was the devil, was thrilled. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The serpent thought he had won the victory against God. Well, when God returned, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. But God knew they disobeyed him, and they lost everything through their disobedience. They would no longer live forever. And heaven was closed. Those gates were closed to everyone, including you and me, because of their disobedience. God turns to the serpent, and he foretells what he will do. God says to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life." And then God says, "I will make enmity. I will make enemies between you and the woman, between your seed, Satan, and her seed." What is God saying here about enemies with the woman? There will come a woman of God's choosing who will bear a child, and her child, her seed, her offspring will crush the head of the serpent, Satan. And that is right out of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And before we move on to the New Testament, we're going to see that there are numerous references by the prophets that a child would come through this chosen woman. We have a few more prayer intentions, and before we get into some of those Old Testament prophecies which follow up with what God the Father said in the Garden of Eden, we have a few here. Let's see, we have Marie. Marie's a Eucharistic minister. She has a bad cough with COVID, very bad sore throat, and she's very weak. We pray for Marie with COVID. And I do know Marie. And the thing is, Marie, besides the COVID, in her everyday life, she suffers with COPD and bronchial asthma. So that is a horrible thing to have to come through. She has those medical issues anyway, and having COVID on top of it is very bad. So she started her medications. And Marie, we pray for you that this is healed quickly. We pray those medications work very quickly in you. We know you're anxious to get back to Mass and being a Eucharistic minister. And you also, she also does the funerals at the church, to be at the Annunciation. She does, here we are with the Annunciation again. So we pray for you. And also in that line, Gina and her husband both have COVID. And her husband's in the hospital because he has other issues with COVID. So he's in the hospital. We pray for them. And right here, my cousin John Chico, he doesn't have COVID, but the scary thing is he's in Inglis House. He's an amputee. His leg was amputated from having been in an auto accident. Anyway, he's there. And there are a number of people in there with COVID. It's almost like a couple of them get healed, and then they get word that there's more and more COVID in the building. So we pray for you, and we pray for all those people in that building through our Mother Mary. We pray for her. We have here a 13-year-old girl. I don't have her name. She has leukemia, and she has a hole in her heart. What a thing for a 13-year-old to go through. Mother Mary, I know she's on your mind, and I know she's in your heart. And I know you can touch that hole in her heart and heal it through your son. We pray for that, for the leukemia. Lord, we pray that your blood, your pure blood, flow through this 13-year-old child. Heal her, make her clean, cleanse her in her body with all this. We're believing. We're just going to believe for children today. We're going to believe that this is going to happen. We have more. We will get to more of our prayer intentions. And right now we see in the prophet Micah, this is in the Old Testament, Micah 5:2, and this is what he says. He says, "And you, Bethlehem," boom, he points to the city, "from you shall come forth unto me one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from antiquity, from eternity. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is to give birth bears a son. He will stand and shepherd his flock." And this is a prophetic reference to Mary bearing the child Jesus, the good shepherd. We see it with the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:16. "For a child is born to us, a son is given. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, God Father Forever, Prince of Peace." And again in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And Isaiah's prophecy is probably the most pointed of all the prophecies. So there are many, many prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to the coming of a virgin, of a chosen woman, who will give birth to a son. They even point to the fact that this will take place in Bethlehem, and this child will be the ruler of Israel. They even tell us the place. Yes, Bethlehem. And in the New Testament, coming up, we're going to see that that is so. We're going to see. You can't miss from these Old Testament prophecies that something very powerful is about to come upon the earth from the hand of the Father himself. Many, many years go by from that Old Testament. The entire Old Testament passes, and we're now into the New Testament. We're in the book of Galatians, and that moment is upon us. Galatians 4:4, and it says, "And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman." How did God approach this moment with this chosen woman? He sent the archangel Gabriel to a young maiden whose name was Mary, in a little town called Nazareth. She couldn't have been more than 14, 15 years old. The angel Gabriel appears to her and says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And Mary was troubled by his words, and she pondered to herself, "What manner of greeting is this?" And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of David, his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You know, think of it. I once heard a priest say this. Mary is the first to hear the name Jesus. She hears the name before Moses, before Abraham, before Adam. Mary is the first to hear the name Jesus. And Mary says to the angel, "But how can this be? I know not, man." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And the child to be born of you shall be called the Son of God." And the angel Gabriel, silent, waits for the child's answer, and Mary says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word." And there it is. That is what's called Mary's fiat. "So be it. Yes, I will do it. Be it done unto me according to thy word." And therein lies our salvation, your salvation, my salvation. Mary says yes to conceive the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who by his death and resurrection will redeem the world. By his death and resurrection, the gates of heaven that were closed through the sin of Adam and Eve, they will be open by his death and resurrection through this child Mary who bore him. And the angel Gabriel departs. It is done. It is done. And that is what we celebrate when we celebrate the feast of Mary's Annunciation. It was foretold by God the Father himself. Where? In the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, and basically the Father is saying to Satan, you know, you thought you tricked me. You told Adam and Eve to disobey me. But from a woman will come her seed, her offspring Jesus, who will crush your head and redeem the world. Redeem the world. That is so, so beautiful. We have a few more prayer intentions, and I'm just so happy to be able to say these for you, looking for them here, because we're all suffering at this time of year. We're suffering with one issue or another, and it's so nice when someone can reach into what we're calling in and pray for our intentions. You know that we care for you. You know that your mother in heaven cares for you. You know that Jesus cares for you. You know that Joseph, who was the protector of Mary and Jesus, he really watched over them. What a job he had, and what a great job he did. He never said anything in Scripture, not one word Joseph said, but he sure did a lot. He sure did. So we're giving your intentions to our Blessed Mother, and we keep saying, Lord, you're not going to refuse your mother. So let us see what we have here before we move on. I'll give you 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Okay. So we see here Mary cooperates with the Holy Spirit. She cooperates with the Holy Spirit to bring forth the Christ, whose death and resurrection, I said, opens the gates of heaven, so that one day you and I, we could dwell in the kingdom with him. It was Mary's Annunciation, her yes, that affects every one of us for all time. And the fruit of God's promise is born on Christmas Day. That first Christmas, how exciting is that? Through the yes of a young maiden, of that young child, Mary. And when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of a break here, and let's see, we have a little bit more time. We can get another prayer intention, I guess, in that time. Okay. Very exciting about that. And we'll tell you about this Louis de Montfort, too. He was a French Dominican priest born in the 17th century. We're going to get into St. Francis. We have a lot more to come. And we're going to talk about Christmas a lot. So, Louis de Montfort, feast is April 28th, a special day in my life. My dear sister passed on that day and is with Louis de Montfort. Now I know it. He's considered one of the foremost authorities on the life of Mary. And he had an incomparable devotion to Mary. And one of the books he wrote is called True Devotion to Mary. And many, many authors who have written books or devotions to Mary have used his works as a definitive reference, as an authority of all things Marian, of all things Mary. And this is what he believes about the Annunciation. He says, our salvation begins when an archangel speaks the name of Mary. The salvation of each individual is bound up with the Hail Mary. So let us go now to a break. And when we come back, we have a lot more to say and a lot more people to pray for. God bless you.
Hello, Father DeLacy here. And I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign Radio Ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
You know, sometimes when I reflect on the nativity scene, I wonder, is this any way for a king to be born? I reflect on the unusual and mysterious way that the Father chose for Jesus to come into the world. That Jesus could have had all. He could have come in a palace, but he chose to come in the cold of the night, in a crib made of hay. He came in a stable surrounded by animals. He came with nothing at all. And sometimes we judge things we don't understand. People or things that are rejected, who see themselves as worthless, who have nothing. They are often precious and holy in the eyes of God. I'd like to play for you a Christmas song that challenges us with that thought that God loves the poor, the humble, the lowly, the rejected. Is this any way for a king to be born?
Is this any way for a king to be born? Is this any way for a king to be born? In the cold of the night, in a crib made of hay, I don't understand why you came that way. The world was your own, you could have had all, but you chose to come with nothing. Yes, you chose to come with nothing at all. Is this any way for a king to be born? Is this any way. What we call rejection. precious and holy is gift in your eyes. Hidden from many, known to a few, specially chosen, called forth from you, specially chosen, called forth from you. Is this any way for a king to be born? Is this any way for a king to be born? The road up ahead, how well Mary knew. Humility, hardship, and poverty too. She trusted in you, from trial did not run, and she gave to us Emmanuel, her son, and she gave to us Emmanuel. Is this any way for a king to be born. What
we call rejected, what we call despised, is precious and holy, is gift in your eyes, hidden from many, known to a few, specially chosen, called forth from you, specially chosen, called forth from you. Is this any way for a king to be born? We'll continue with our prayer intentions. We have Elizabeth. Elizabeth's a senior citizen, and she has medical issues. And Elizabeth, whatever they are, the Lord God knows them, and his mother does. So we're placing you in Mary's arms, and that petition is going to go right to her son. So we pray for whatever those medical issues are, that they be healed, Elizabeth. God bless you, Elizabeth. Enjoy this beautiful season. And we're praying for Donna. Donna has severe spinal stenosis. Not only that, she's going to have open heart surgery. And Donna's a nurse. In fact, we had prayed a while back, she ministered to her friend Betty. Betty, for 3 years, had something called polymyositis, which had her bedridden. And Donna took her in, took care of her during that time before Betty passed. She did everything for her and never complained. So now Donna is in need of prayer. We pray for this open heart surgery and the spinal stenosis. And for Carol, who has back pain for a long time. She's had many different procedures. None work. She just had back surgery. That she's still in pain from that. Too soon to tell, but she said she won't. She just doesn't know what she will do if this doesn't get healed. So we pray for Carol. We pray for that. We have prayer requests here. It says Arlene is depressed, full of fear, unable to sleep. Oh, Arlene, I pray for you. Depression is a horrible thing. My dad suffered from depression, and I saw what he went through. And believe it or not, it lasted a long time until I went to Ephesus, Turkey, into the house of Mary. And my father wrote his prayer intention, and I placed it on that altar in Turkey. When I came home, my dad was a changed man. He was healed. So I go to, for you right now to Mary. I go to Mary for Arlene. I pray for your depression to be healed, Arlene. I place you in the arms of Our Lady. She's strong. I pray she carries you right to Jesus. Takes care of that fear that's in you. And pray that you can get some sleep. We're praying for right now. So, it's just so beautiful to pray for our brothers and sisters, isn't it? So beautiful. You know, this season of Advent leading to Christmas is so special. We are to prepare spiritually for the coming of Jesus on Christmas Day. And we also enjoy putting up our Christmas decorations, trimming our Christmas tree, getting our special foods for Christmas dinner. And something that you will see in many, many homes is the creche. What is the creche? It's the nativity set with figures of Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus in a manger, surrounded by lambs and sheep, donkeys and ox, and of course the shepherds, wise men. What a great display, representation of what took place on the night Christ was born. What a great idea. Who had that wonderful inspiration to do that? Who was the first person who said, hey, let's put up a Christmas scene on the night of Christ's birth? Are you ready for this? The first person who did this was Saint Francis of Assisi. It was the year 1223, 10 centuries ago. Saint Francis was visiting the small town of Grigio. And Grigio was built on a mountainside overlooking a beautiful valley surrounded by vineyards. And Saint Francis wanted to have midnight mass, but the chapel was too small to fit all the people. So he set up an altar outside in the niche of a rock. This midnight mass would be unlike any other midnight mass. He got the permission of the Pope. He went to the Pope. He got permission and brought in live animals and people to make up the nativity scene. A live nativity scene. Saint Bonaventure, in his book, The Life of Saint Francis, and he lived around the same time as Saint Francis, so he would know. He tells the story from here. He says, Saint Francis prepared a manger, and he brought hay and an ox and sheep to the place appointed. The people were then summoned to the scene, and they ran to the scene together. The forest resounded with their voices, and that venerable night was made glorious by many brilliant lights and psalms of praise. Saint Francis stood before the manger, full of devotion and piety, bathed in tears and radiant with joy. The Holy Gospel was chanted, sung by Francis, and he preached around the nativity of the poor king. He was unable to utter the child's name for the tenderness of his love. He called him the Babe of Bethlehem. And Saint Francis beheld an infant marvelously beautiful. Remember, this was a live infant, sleeping in the manger. And Francis embraced the infant with both his arms, as if he would awake him from sleep. The hay of the manger, this is interesting, the hay of the manger preserved by the people, miraculously cured all diseases of the cattle, and many other pestilences. God in all things glorified his servant Francis of Assisi, and through the efficacy of his holy prayers, God manifested amazing and unusual things and miracles. The hay of the manger was used to heal through the power of Francis' holiness. You know, it reminded me, and I'm sure you too, I'm sure you've done this, when we go to our churches on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we reach for the hay in the manger to put in our mangers at home. So symbolic of our reaching out in prayer to the infant for miracles in our own lives, miracles within our own families. I know I do that. People up there at the creche, at the nativity scene, you know, I don't grab a whole bunch. See, people grab a handful of it. I take a little sliver, a little piece of hay, you know, and I put it in my little nativity set at home. And it's special because it came from the church. And when you relate it to what Francis did, he had a whole display out there. The people loved it. They ran to it. When they were ready to go to midnight mass, it says they were summoned to the scene and they ran to it together. The forest resounded with their voices in song, Can you imagine the glory of that? And Francis was just higher than a kite with joy. I knew it. I know it. I know it. He really was. So it's just beautiful when we think of those beautiful things, you know. Christmas, it's a wonderful time of year as we participate in Mass and the Holy Eucharist and on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. It's an exciting time to participate in so many of the festive things offered to us. But Christmas can also be a difficult time of year. Many people are sad. And if we are dealing with medical issues, or if a friend or family member is suffering from a serious illness, if you are out of work, if your finances are limited, you can't do what you would like for your children. Or maybe you've cut down on your Christmas dinner. You just cannot afford all of the high prices that are there. And boy, they are high. I was just noticing, I'm sure you are too, with the eggs. My goodness, my eggs jumped so significantly. It's so, so expensive. It really is. So what do we have here? This is also terribly sad. Maybe you've lost a family member and you miss their presence with you. That is so painful, especially during the holidays. Maybe you feel so far away from the faith of your youth. You just don't feel anything. You don't feel spiritual. You feel the Lord doesn't even know you exist. Well, that is not so. Just know that that baby in the manger in Bethlehem, just know that that baby loves you so much. You very much. So in your mind, try for a brief moment to reach out and hold that little hand of the baby Jesus. That little hand is reaching out to you. You cannot say no to a baby. Feel his love fill you like you have never felt his love before. You're not alone. He will never, never abandon you. We recently did three programs on St. Pio of Pietrelcina, Padre Pio, and we spoke of so many of his glorious gifts. But do you know that it was Christmas and the Nativity of Christ that most captivated his heart? This year, I received a Christmas card from the Padre Pio Shrine in Bartow, Pennsylvania, with the most beautiful picture of the Padre on it. And it said, from Padre Pio's childhood, he profoundly loved the infant Jesus and all the events around our Savior's birth. I mean, when you think of all the gifts that he had, he profoundly loved the infant Jesus. He loved the troubles of the homeless Mary and Joseph and all they went through. Joseph, the love, courage, and strength of Joseph. He was there to protect them and care for his holy family. If you think Mary was chosen by God the Father, I believe so was Joseph for them. And that trip that they took was a very dangerous one because Herod was out to kill that baby. We celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents, those little two-year-old babies that Herod had put to death because he was trying to find this king. Who's this king? He was jealous. He didn't want that king around. Padre Pio loved the glorious song of the angels, the adoration of the shepherds, and the gifts of the wise men, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in his own words, St. Pio said, "All church holidays are beautiful, but Christmas has a tenderness, a childish sweetness that takes all my heart." And can you imagine Padre Pio saying that? Christmas has a childish sweetness that takes all my heart. I remember one time I had a Christmas card. I got a Christmas card, and the picture showed the nativity scene. But Padre Pio was in the nativity scene. He was in the middle of it with Mary and Joseph, with the animals, the shepherds, the kings, and you just know that a photographer placed him there He placed Padre Pio right there in the scene, and that was on the card. And, of course, you know, physically, we don't think he was at that nativity scene, but it works. It works for me. That spiritually, he had to be there. He loved the infant so, so much. You know, just to, for a moment, get back to the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. You know, people will say, well, what happens if Mary had said no? She thought about this and said, no, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Well, when that moment happened, when the angel Gabriel asked Mary if she would bear the child, it said, I read something once that said, all of creation, all of the angels held their breath. They held their breath awaiting her answer to see what she would say. And he said, well, if she said no, we'll just get another girl. No. There would not be another girl. Mary was chosen from all time. In God the Father's mind, from all time, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, the angel said, you, Mary, have found favor with God. She was the one. There was no other. And Mary was immaculately conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. No stain of sin in her, for Mary would bear the Christ in her womb. There could be no stain of sin within her. She was immaculately conceived, and it was God the Father who favored her in such a manner. If Mary had said no, that gate of heaven would still be closed. You know, at Christmas we have that prayer. I remember it as a child in elementary school. We used to say it, and we used to repeat it. And I see it on EWTN after the rosary. They're saying it every day. And it's a prayer that, as I say it, I know you're gonna remember it. And it went like this. It was so tender. It said, "Hail and blessed be the hour. Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. And in that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my petitions through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed Mother. Amen." And that's repeated. Now, they're doing it three times on EWTN, but I can remember people are doing it 15 times during the day because it's a prayer that's known to obtain favors. 15 times. And they'll say it throughout the day during that 15, that time period. And so it's truly very, very beautiful. And there's a prayer also from the St. Jude Shrine, very powerful shrine. And it's another beautiful prayer. It says, "May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Saint Jude bless you now and forever. Amen." Amen and amen. Amen. That is so beautiful. We have, just wondering if we do have more prayer intentions here, which is wonderful, that before we can get to the end of this, before we can close, we can lift more people up in prayer here. Let's see what we have here. We have Zachary. Zachary's 2 years old. Zachary has pneumonia and 104 fever. A child. Mary, hold him. Mary, hold him. Carry him to Jesus. Please carry him to Jesus. That little baby, be freed of his pneumonia, freed of his fever. He can enjoy this time of year with the toys and the gifts, and that he can enjoy it. We pray for Zachary. We pray for Zachary. We pray here for, John's not here. We pray for him, that he be well, that he be fine. There's nothing really bad with him, I'm saying, but that we pray for him. And we pray for Anne-Marie, his wife's dad. She will be 100 on December 21st. He's going to be 100 years old. And right now he has COVID. He's doing better. and we're praying that he will be okay for the party that's being planned for him. He said he's going to live to 101. So so he has great faith that he has another year coming. Good for him. Good for Anne-Marie's dad. His name is Charlie. We have here Janice. She's the wife of one of our deacons. Janice has been through a very serious back surgery for a long time. Constant pain. The last surgery had lasted forever, hours. And only a couple of months ago that happened. And now she has to go through another surgery. She has to have what's called a facet injection. And they're hoping to be able to avoid that, but she's not sure. She has been in so much pain for so long, doesn't complain. And she's the wife of our beautiful deacon there. So we just pray for Janice. She suffers in silence. I mean, she's a saint. She really, really is. Let's see. We have here. I just would just like to get in. Yesterday was the second anniversary of the death of my dear arranger and composer, Richard Rohm. I can't talk about him without choking up a little bit. Such a genius. The music you just heard, I was singing, and he was playing that beautiful arrangement in the background. He arranged it and composed it and played it. Such a beautiful gift he was. And he said, you know, he said, he knew who the greats were, Rachmaninoff and Debussy and all those great Horowitz, the great pianists, and he was great himself, Richie Rohm was. And one day he was in deep thought, and he looked up at me, and he said, you know, when I get there, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him to play for me. And he looked at me right in the eyes when he said that. I want to tell you, it went right through me. He's going to ask Jesus, God, who gave the gifts to these marvelous people. And he said he is going to ask Jesus to play for him. And I know that's already happened. And I know that Jesus has asked Richie to play for all of them. We have here for Jackie, for a special intention and prayers for her children. Jackie, we're praying for you right now through the intercession of the Blessed Mother who loves her children. So beautiful. Well, kind of a closing thought here. A thought for all of you, our beautiful listeners, during this holy season. We could not do this without you. We love you. And even when we're not on the air, we pray for you. So no matter what is going on in your life, know that you are loved by Jesus. He knows everything about you and everything that's going on with you. He knows your joys. He knows your sorrows. He was a man of sorrows who suffered on the cross. A Father William Saunders wrote on St. Francis in the creche, and he said, we must never forget that the wood of the little babe's manger that held him so securely would one day give way to the wood of the cross. Jesus knows pain. He knows your pain. Reach out for his little hand in the manger and let him hold you and comfort you. And remember something that we sometimes don't even realize. Love goes both ways. Jesus needs you to love and comfort him. Maybe he wants to put his head on your shoulder. Let him do that during this season. Let him do that today. May you and your families, may you have a holy and blessed Christmas and a happy, safe, and healthy New Year. God bless you. God bless you, Kathleen McCarthy, and this marvelous radio station and all that you do. Maureen, Frank, Mary, Patrick, John, wish you many, many more blessed years doing this work that has gone all around the world. All around the world. It's rough. It's not easy. But you stick to it. You are at it. Kathleen, God bless you. I marvel at your gifts. I'm just in awe of all that you are capable of doing and how the Lord has used you to keep this program, this station in his sign, Radio, Catholic Radio Network, all of these years. You said yes at a time when it wasn't easy to say yes. So we thank you, Kathleen. We thank you for all the people who serve you in this ministry, especially Maureen, who I often have to contact for different things. God bless all of you out there. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. and a blessed Advent.